Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
My shaven razor's cold and it stings. Cheer up, sleepy Jean. Oh, what can it mean to a daydream believer and a homecoming queen?
It's nothing against the portal. But I understand that constituency. I don't care if they're on Gulf Beach Highway in a trailer park. You go through the trailer park and tell them how many people got Wi-Fi. And you go through.
Lumen, I'm not giving up the functionality of this program. Trust me.
I get it. I mean, I'm answering the question because the question was presented.
This was the conversation at the Escambia County Commission meeting about the ending of the Human Relations Commission, which short version of a long conversation is they ended it and then they unended it, and then they sort of sunsetted it at the end of the year. But the how they got there was very interesting because in the beginning, Commissioner Lumen May, and if you don't know the Human Relations Commission, that's where you go to get help with housing discrimination or somebody's being a predator against you in your employment, any of these kind of what you would think of as like the HR department in your job, except it's for the whole community. So housing or employment discrimination or abuse or mistreatment or, you know, people are not following the legal rules. If you're not familiar with the HRC, it's probably because in your position in life, you would solve these problems either by talking to them yourself and you'd have enough power to do that or because you would, you know, go to a lawyer. The HRC is more meant, and you could use the HRC, you know, even if you have means, but the HRC is really meant to primarily help people who don't feel like they have means or understand the system or have power. And so it's there to help them. And as Lumen May is saying, look, if we're going to get rid of this and instead go to some web link online, which is a mischaracterization of what the county was offering, yes, a portal online, but also staff in-house to try to do the things that are being done by the HRC independently right now. Maybe sometimes well, sometimes not well. And he says, it's not fair, you know, because, we, it's not appropriate. This is a door-to-door business. This is a people business. This is not something where you just, you know, have a web link on a computer that people don't even have access to. And Mike Kohler says, I agree. I know that. We're not trying to lose any of the functionality here.
It's not what you say, it's what people hear. And to say to an organization and to a community that we're going to take away the hand-on-hand and present it with a click on a portal, how many of us would be elected if we didn't go door to door and knock on people's door and gather our votes? How many of us would be elected if we didn't go hand to hand and hand out literature? None of us. If all we did was ran our campaign on a computer, none of us would be elected because people want to see, touch, and feel. So that's why that's
important. But you're hearing no one saying that's the only option.
Okay. Well, I mean, that was the option that was presented.
Well, no, see, because all this stemmed basically from a bit of an too brief answer by the county attorney, in which even she didn't say that, but then it got kind of taken as that's what the answer would be. And, you know, part of this is presentation by the county. If the county doesn't give an answer of what are we really going to do, what is it going to look like, how many staff are going to be involved, how many FTEs are full-time employees, you know, they didn't come forward with a robust replacement plan. And so it got kind of straw man mischaracterized as, well, all you're going to do is put up a web link and call it a day. And then people can file their complaints and then what happens to them. And then, it, you know, you don't care about these people. You're not servicing these people. There was definitely an element of you privileged white people don't understand what the unprivileged, underprivileged black people in this community deal with. And I don't think that's a fair characterization, but I do think that there is some truth in that, you know, the people that Lumen deals with that need the HRC are people who want to have more of the human touch and wouldn't solve a problem by, you know, going online and filing a form or, you know, wouldn't make even a phone call necessarily, wouldn't necessarily do it that way. They need to be, you know, they're going to deal with it personally. But again, the trick is that Mike Kohler is not saying that. He's saying, I'm willing to have those people. I just want to have it in-house instead of be this independent agency.
Some of these folks, like, I totally agree with what Commissioner May's saying. I mean, but I also think we could be more efficient. If you look at the audit and some of the things, we have to look at the totality of how we can make this actually better. That's what I'm more focused on. Can we make it better that people believe in the program, that the resources are there? And sometimes change is painful, and sometimes it can be even better. And I think that we're in an opportunity here. No one's going to give up. Well, I wouldn't go with just a portal. I'm just telling you right now. I already told Wes that. There's no way. We have to make sure that the functionality of the program, that the citizens in this county believe that they're getting the service.
See, and he's saying that repeatedly, but the message is not landing, or the other side is not willing to hear it, and so they keep kind of characterizing it as, well, you're just out of the blue junking this program, you're firing this guy, and you're going to replace him with a web link, and that's all it is. And Mike is consistently saying that's not the case. It's really not what we're trying to do.
Every employee deserves an evaluation. How do I know how to improve if you didn't evaluate me? You gave me no input of my services, but you told me multiple times, year in and year out, your services were good. Oh, well, now your services are no good. And so that's, to me, an unfair assessment to any organization. And I've had this conversation with, you know what, y'all ain't did anything. You know what, Al, y'all haven't case management. You know, Al has a different story. But, I mean, we warn people all the time. I mean, people can become in default or they contract, and we say, you know what, you got 6 months, 12 months to get your act together, buddy, and here are the goals, here are the objectives. We didn't even give them a scope of work. We didn't give them any outcomes. So how do we measure someone when you didn't give them an outcome? What did you measure it on? You measured it on personality? You measured it on whatever? I mean, if you had given them an outcome and told them you didn't reach those outcomes, and you know what? You missed the measuring, then that's fair. But to just say that you're not effective, how do I know? Because we don't know what the objectives was.
And in general, those would be fair criticisms too. If you're going to have this thing and you're going to think about ending it, why not try to rectify it first? Why not go with objectives and set out goals? And, you know, why not say to them, hey, we think that you're failing on these metrics? Well, there was a report that came in and that was pretty concerning, but is that enough to do it? Well, as I say, it became kind of this class warfare conversation, this black against white, this privilege against unprivileged. I'm putting words that weren't really used out loud, but the subtext was clearly all of that. And that, you know, you folks don't really understand this community, its needs, and how dare you just jump in and get rid of a thing that this whole community really, really likes.
I just want to say, you know, it seems like this is, and if I'm being candid, an attack or a way to gain favor with people in Tallahassee and in D.C. to say that you're coming after DEI. But please know that you're affecting residents that are black, white, and everything in between.
And that's true. Anybody can go and get help. The question is, you know, who primarily goes and gets help. And by the way, I will say this. I think the idea of an HRC actually makes a lot of sense, whether in-house or not in-house, because it's useful to have a free resource where you can go and get legal help with discrimination claims or abuse claims or just, you know, landlords not following the rules claims. That's a good thing for a community if, you know, something less than having to go hire lawyers to figure this stuff out is available to people. That's actually helpful. If it works right. If it works right. 617 on News Radio 92.3, John Pickens has traffic for us. John?
That's right. Brought to you by Insect Pest and Lawn. Make your outdoor space summer ready. Get $50 off new mosquito or fire ant control service. Visit insect.net today. Still rolling accident-free right now. I-10, I-110 are looking good. Just seeing some minor delays on Davis as you approach Olive Road. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Some published accounts, including a few from the Navy itself, as to how the Blue Angels got their name are inaccurate. One story says the name was coined at the Cleveland Air Races in 1946 when a reporter, after witnessing the performance, exclaimed, "Those boys are out of this world." The angel word was a natural offshoot of such a phrase, and the name stuck. Another version claims that a man in the grandstands yelled, "God, if they don't look like Blue Angels." Well, those might be interesting side tales, but they're not true. Here's how the Blue Angels really got their name. The press had been referring to them by their official name, the Navy Flight Exhibition Team, or as simply, that Navy Flying Outfit. Thinking a more exciting name would bring added recognition to NAS Jacksonville and the team itself, the base newspaper, the Jacks Air News, conducted a contest with a $10 cash prize to whoever submitted the best name. They were looking for a name with zip and color. Among the names submitted and considered were Sky Dancers, the Flying Buccaneers, the Sea Eagles, Top Notchers, the Skyscrapers, Navy Cats, the Blue Bachelors, the Sky Rocketeers, the Cloudbusters, Stratocats, and Aerocats. But the winning name was Blue Lancers. That's right. the Blue Lancers. The young boy who submitted the winning name got his $10, and the Navy Flight Exhibition Team got a name. So why don't we call them the Blue Lancers anymore? As it turns out, the men of the Blue Lancers didn't much care for the name. Soon, the Blue Lancers were scheduled to perform in New York. In preparation for their trip, they were looking through the New Yorker magazine when they came across an ad for a local nightclub called the Blue Angel. The consensus among the team was immediate. They loved the name. Commander Voris announced the new name to reporters during the pre-show briefing at the World's Fair of Aviation in Omaha, Nebraska on July 26, 1946. Henceforth, they would be known the world over as the Blue Angels. I'll be back with more after this.
When it comes to your dream home, at Pinair Credit Union, we think you deserve to be picky. So buy that perfect place that just speaks to you. Or build a new home just the way you like it. Because at Pinair Credit Union, we deliver affordable and flexible home mortgages and construction loans designed to make your next home a dream come true. Find all you need to get started at pinair.org/homeloan. Whether you're buying or building, Pinair Home Loans fit you perfectly. Federally insured by NCUA, Equal Housing Lender.
The Blue Angels get a new plane and lose a pilot in the next chapter of News Radio's History of the Blue Angels.
Hi, this is Jeff Wayne, General Sales Manager of ADX Communications. Our team of expert marketing consultants, backed by over 200 years of combined experience, has helped hundreds of local businesses increase their market share. With four powerful radio stations, we can create a customized marketing plan tailored to your needs. And if digital advertising is part of your strategy, we've got you covered. ADX Digital offers cutting-edge solutions and exclusive products and strategies that gives your business an edge. Let's make 2025 a year of success for your business, whether it's on the market leader, Cat Country 98.7, News Radio 92.3, the area's top news talk station, the go-to for sports fans, ESPN Pensacola 99.1, Pensacola Playlist 94.5 for reaching women and lifestyle audiences, or ADX Digital, targeted digital strategies that drive results. One call, one team, endless possibilities. Call me, Jeff Wayne, at 850-262-6000.
Hi, I'm Dr. Ben McMillan, and I'm a chiropractor and the owner of Neal Clinic Comprehensive Healthcare. Are you tired of covering up your pain with medications and ready to find the source of your problem and fix it? Then tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel, live Friday mornings at 9 a.m., and I'll discuss how chiropractic care can help you. And if you miss Friday's show, you can listen to the replay Saturdays or anytime through the podcast.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Northwest Florida businesses pay an average 20% more for phone service. Data Revolution wants to change that. We are your local, service-focused VoIP provider. Right now, offering a free bill review and free installation for new customers. No matter where your team is, Data Revolution can help. Experience the service and support only a locally owned company can provide. Join the revolution at datarevs.com.
Get the midday news live with Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins, 11 to 2, before Guy Benson on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
You speak English?
What country do you think this is?
There are some songs in the world that it's just kind of, I probably shouldn't use them as bumpers because you don't want to ever stop playing them.
No, and I wish I could shred like that too.
Bohemian Rhapsody would be one. Oh, yes. You know, Paradise City is another. I mean, there's a handful of them. And, of course, they're never short. 623, which is good. 623 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's a Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning. Members of Congress on both sides of the aisle are looking to limit U.S. involvement in the Iran-Israel conflict amid reports that the Trump administration may be weighing an offensive strike against Iran. Democrat Senator Tim Kaine has introduced legislation to limit President Trump's war power. That would keep the president from being able to use military force in Iran without congressional approval. Meanwhile, Republican Congressman Tom Massie has introduced an Iran War Powers Resolution. In a post on X, he said, quote, "This is not our war."
You know, it's interesting how everybody is suddenly the expert on bunker buster bombs.
Well, of course.
All you need to do is drop a couple of those in there, and we'll take care of that buried facility in Iran. Okay, all right.
Do it all,
maybe
right?
Leave war to the warfighters. Anyway, go ahead, David.
Leave war to the warfighters. That's a
weird,
novel concept.
Weird philosophy,
yeah,
right?
It's strange.
It's almost like we could have learned that, say, you know, 50 years ago in Vietnam, but whatever, you know. Go on.
Well, there have been no new updates since Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem was hospitalized yesterday. They're saying that was an allergic reaction. She was taken to George Washington Hospital in D.C. Out of what the Department of Homeland Security says was just an abundance of caution. She's said to be alert and recovering. It's not clear what caused that reaction initially.
I heard that she was found within 15 feet of AOC and the allergic reaction was spontaneous. No? Nobody? Not?
I don't know.
Go on.
Let's play that song again. How about that? Don't expect the Federal Reserve to announce any interest rate cuts today. The central bank is predicted to keep its benchmark rate unchanged for now, with rates currently hovering between 4.25% and 4.5%.
Thank you so much, David. Let's see. We got John Pickens, traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. Just one minor fender bender that just happened on Bayless Court in Old Palafox Highway. First responders have been dispatched. They're not on scene yet, but from what I understand, it's just a minor fender bender, so good news on that. Other than that, we are looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Got some Bondo handy. Stop by and help.
Duct tape.
If you're thinking about making a real estate transaction, buying a house, selling a house, you know, upsizing, downsizing, moving to the beach, moving away from the beach, moving to J or away from J, I mean, whatever. I don't know. Everybody's got different circumstances. You want to add a rental? You know, whatever. Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenrinky Realty can help you with that. Even specialized circumstances, dealing with a divorce. They know how to handle that. It's not so obvious and easy, so they went and got training on how to do it. How to handle an estate sale. You know, you think, oh, that's easy. Well, not when everybody disagrees. That's a challenge. Or, you know, permanent change of station, military. That's something that Christina's always been eager to help with because, you know, she understands it's a challenging circumstance. And so if you're moving either away or to and you want to handle that stuff, I mean, sometimes the time frames don't really work out with your normal closing schedules. I mean, there's all kinds of issues, including having to solve problems with somebody who's stationed, for example, in Japan overseas. And the first time they're going to even see you or see the house is when you give them the key to go in, and they bought it already. So she works with that kind of stuff all the time. 786-3996 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenrinky Realty. You remember, John, a week or two or three ago, we did the Transgressors Memorial Service. That's the Friday satire piece where I pretend to be a woke pastor, commemorating the things that were lost or canceled this week. At early services at 6:20, late services at 8:20, if you've never heard it. Well, it's the most Andrew thing there is on the show.
Oh, yes, it is.
I usually exercise a lot of restraint on air.
Really?
Yeah, no, really.
No, seriously.
And there's almost no restraint in the Transgressors Memorial. It is my most, you know, mean girl side of me.
Pastor
anyway,
Andrew.
Yeah, but I actually try to teach you what, you know, the woke viewpoint is and by satire. Anyway. Remember I mentioned that the Taliban was banning chess?
Yes, I remember that.
Because it, you know, it leads to gambling, you know, because I guess gambling on chess is a big thing. It's not. It's kind of like how the, you know, if you're a Baptist, you know, the reason the Baptists are against premarital sex is because, you know, too much premarital sex eventually leads to dancing, you know. Sorry, it's a denominational joke. You get it later. Anyway, so Iran, you know, noted lover of freedom, Iran. Afghanistan. Easy to confuse Sunni versus Shia, sorry. But in Afghanistan, the Taliban are, you know, they've banned chess. And people are kind of, like, stunned about this and thought maybe they weren't, you know, serious. The Taliban don't make a lot of jokes. Except when they promote you to come back and live in Afghanistan, you know, sunny Afghanistan. It's fantastic. Former chess coach found out the hard way the Taliban is enforcing its ban. Ahmad Sami Hazanzada, that's about close, was in a park playing chess in the western city of Herat with friends when they were accosted by members of the Taliban Vice Squad. No one expects the Spanish Inquisition. The Taliban Vice Squad, which That's a real thing. You know, the Ministry for Prevention of Vice and the Promotion of Virtue. They shouted at us. They grabbed our chess sets and pieces, and they beat up two of my friends. Sorry. This is an SNL sketch. Except, of course, they're not in session right now. But this would be, like, they could open with
really
this.
Good.
It would be hilarious. You have all kinds of opportunities here. It's horrifying, but, you know, it's also a great source of satire. One of his friends tried to challenge the men who work for the Ministry of the Prevention of Vice and the Promotion of Virtue. And if you don't know, that's actually a real thing. Which upholds the Taliban's hardline interpretation of Islam, fleshed out in recent morality laws. One of the men told him, quote, "Playing chess is forbidden. Buying a chess set is forbidden. Even watching it is forbidden." So, like, now there's going to be chess porn on your phone.
Whoa, that's going to be blocked.
You know, white to mate in three. No, whoa. No. How did I get in jail over this? So
shot on the spot.
Anyway, apparently, like, customs officials have been intercepting chess books.
No.
And games and, you know, for weeks now. Women playing chess outside the home began even earlier, and the Taliban came to power. Of course, they don't want women learning how to think logically and problem solve. And despite the protestations to the contrary that Afghanistan is a great place to come live, the women reporting on the ban prefer to remain anonymous so that they don't get punished by the Taliban for speaking out.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. President Trump deciding to help Israel destroy Iran's nuclear facilities, Iran's foreign ministry says, would be a recipe for all-out war in the region.
President Trump has hinted at greater involvement. The Pentagon has also sent more warplanes to the region. Speaking to the United Nations in Geneva, Switzerland, top Iranian diplomat Ali Barani warning his country would respond to direct U.S. involvement. Jonathan Savage, Fox News.
New York City comptroller and mayoral candidate Brad Lander is told federal charges are dropped after his arrest in immigration court.
He was linked arm to arm with a person who authorities were trying to detain when ICE and DHS agents attempted to separate Lander. It got chaotic. Lander says all he was trying to do was really see the arrest warrant of a man ICE agents were trying to detain in that moment.
Fox's Jeff Paul, that man was arrested. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It is 6:31 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Right now we've got partly cloudy skies. It's 76 degrees here in Pensacola. We'll get more on our weather forecast with Brooke Richardson in just a few minutes. A lawsuit has been filed against Pace Pharmacy and its owners for the death of local engineer Andrew Strickland, who had reportedly filled multiple prescriptions there just days before he died. Strickland was a patient of Dr. Elaine Sharp, who's now charged with murder for an alleged pill mill scheme. She had prescribed him morphine and diazepam. Attorney Jeff Gaddy with Levin Papantonio says that red flags were ignored by Dr. Sharp and by the pharmacy. Owners Stephen and Monique Berklow and former pharmacist David Winkles were arrested last month. Officials say the pharmacy was selling pills out of the back door, falsifying prescriptions, and even selling illegal Chinese OxyContin that was stronger than the federally approved version. As the investigations continue, more lawsuits are expected to be filed against the pharmacy and relating to Dr. Sharp's practices. Two Texas men are charged in a cocaine bust in Escambia County, Alabama. Officials say 37-year-old Dominic Bally and 36-year-old James Godby are charged with cocaine trafficking. They're both held in the Escambia, Alabama jail on $1 million bond. Deputies say the two were arrested after a traffic stop on I-65. That resulted in the seizure of 22 pounds of cocaine with a street value of more than $250,000. Escambia County Sheriff says there's a trend. People are having trouble controlling their anger. This after a 50-year-old woman was arrested last week for allegedly dousing a woman with lighter fluid after setting her garbage can and truck on fire. Sheriff Chip Simmons says other local incidents involving fire have caused serious injuries.
A couple years ago, we had a lady at the gas station pour gasoline on an individual.
Yeah.
And that person got severely burned.
In this case, the victim wasn't injured. It all started at a home on 79th Avenue when the suspect and the victim's animals got into a fight. Janita Mitchell is now charged with arson, battery, property damage, and assault. The Federal Reserve is not expected to announce an interest rate cut today for the fourth consecutive time. Bankrate's Greg McBride says the rates likely won't change until things stabilize.
We need to see a notable deterioration in the labor market or just the prospect of tariffs being completely off the table. That's unlikely.
Rates are still hovering between 4.25% and 4.5%. Mortgage rates around 7% right now. The average credit card rate north of 20%. A Pensacola man has pleaded guilty and is awaiting sentencing for cyberstalking two young girls. 28-year-old Charles Schmaltz, he allegedly used more than 10 social media accounts to communicate with minor females from 2022 until 2024. Prosecutors say Schmaltz continued contacting the girls and sending sexually explicit content despite requests from the victims and from their parents to stop. The victims ranged from 9 to 15 years old. Schmaltz is due for sentencing in September and could face up to 30 years in prison. 635 at News Radio 92.3. John Pickens has our traffic on the fives.
That's right. Brought to you by Pensacola Christian Academy, where students thrive in a safe environment designed to build a solid foundation. You can learn more at enrollpca.com/radio. Still dealing with that minor fender bender that happened at Bayless Court and Old Palafox Highway. It's off to the side of the road, not seeing any delays associated with that. I-10, I-110, 90, 98, even 9 Mile are looking good this morning. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
Thank you very much, John. Now our Channel 3 weather forecast.
We will have more scattered showers and thunderstorms through the day today. 70% chance of rain overall. Otherwise, partly cloudy skies with a high near 88 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 77. For Thursday, 70% chance of rain, high near 88. Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 74. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. It is 76 degrees right now. We've got clear skies. Our next news is at 7, breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Treasury yields were little changed this morning as investors awaited the Federal Reserve's rate policy decision. The benchmark 10-year Treasury note fell one basis point to 4.381%, while the 2-year Treasury yield was lower by less than a basis point at 3.945%. The Fed's meeting is set to conclude today, and experts predict that the agency will keep interest rates the same. CME Fed Watch Tool says there's a 97% chance that rates will be held steady. The Federal Reserve will announce its interest rate decision at 2 p.m. Eastern Time. Global manufacturers are rethinking their products' design, tapping into a legal technique known as tariff engineering to lower tariff costs. The practice involves changing the item's materials, altering its dimensions or compositions. Tariff engineering is legal if the changes genuinely alter the product's characteristics. Futures are currently mixed. Tuesday, the Dow Industrials lost 299, the NASDAQ down 180, the S&P 500 down 50. That's Your Money Now.
Are you living with dry AMD? If so, you could be on the road to geographic atrophy, or GA, a condition that leads to retinal cell death and permanent vision loss. But with Izervay, you can
slow it down and get it going slower.
Izervay slows GA progression by targeting a key source of retinal cell death, which may help preserve your vision longer. Izervay, or Avastin Captid Pegol, is a prescription eye injection used to treat GA. Don't take it if you have an infection or active swelling in or around your eye. Izervay can cause eye infection, retinal detachment, or increased risk of wet AMD. Izervay may temporarily increase eye pressure. Your vision may be impaired after an eye injection or exam. Don't delay. Ask your doctor about Izervay today.
Izervay gets GA going slower.
Visit Izervay.com. That's Izervay.com. Paid for by Astellas Pharma.
You know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune in to What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair of Swan Capital, Saturdays at 1, to get answers to your retirement planning questions. Plan today so you can do all the things you've dreamt about doing in retirement. Don't miss What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair, Saturdays at 1. Firm offers insurance services. Advisory services offered through Swan Capital, LLC.
You're great at protecting your personal information. You might even use things like two-factor authentication and strong passwords. But as much as you try to control how your info is protected, there are other places that also have it, and they may not be as careful. That's why LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats. If your identity's stolen, they'll fix it guaranteed or your money back. Save 40% your first year with my name, Clay, as the promo code at LifeLock.com. Terms apply.
In the world of payroll and HR services, things can get complicated. There are so many moving parts in business. At Avalon HR, we understand these complications and have your back. Join us this Wednesday at 10 o'clock on the Pensacola Expert Panel as we guide you through the complicated world of payroll and HR services. Running a business is busy work. Allow Avalon HR to work with you. Join us this Wednesday on the Pensacola Expert Panel at 10 on News Radio 1620 92.3 FM.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Do you want to stay up to date on the latest news, weather, and traffic, but don't have a radio nearby? Then you need to download our new app. With the News Radio Pensacola app, you can get text alerts for breaking news, severe weather, and traffic delays. Plus, customize your alerts so you only get the information you need. It's easy to sign up for text alerts. Just download our app, create an account, and select the alerts you want to receive. You can even change your settings at any time. So what are you waiting for? Download the News Radio Pensacola app today and start getting text alerts.
Yo, Vanilla, kick it one time, boy.
Oh, yeah. Gata. Yep.
Speaking of embarrassing things about white people, 640 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I came across, I don't do a lot of, like, read to you on the air, but I came across an article that I thought was... it should be read. And the article is written by Charles Orgbon III. It appeared in the Huffington Post. And the title of the article is, "I Have a Degree in Critical Race Theory. These things people believe about it are especially wild and troubling." And as I say, I'm just going to read to you. There may be editorial comment along the way. But this was interesting. So here goes. "I just graduated with Master's of Liberal Arts, where I use critical race theory, CRT, as a framework for understanding climate change and its impact on communities. That's a mouthful, I know. But this also represents a degree I fought for through late nights, towering stacks of books, and a growing sense that the world can be a more sustainable and equitable place for all. CRT has become one of this country's favorite villains, splashed across the front pages of newspapers, hurled like a slur by politicians, and blamed for everything from school board fights to the supposed unraveling of America." By the way, I like his writing. His writing's pretty good. But here's the wildest part. "Despite all the shouting and panic about CRT, almost nobody who is disparaging it can actually tell you what it is. So let's get this straight. Critical race theory isn't some secret curriculum thrust upon grade school students. Developed in the late 1970s and early 1980s by academics, it's a framework that examines culture, politics, the economy, and more through the lens of race. It's used at the college or graduate school level, if one's lucky to have professors who dare to ask challenging questions. CRT asks why some neighborhoods get parks and others get landfills, why disaster relief comes quickly to certain zip codes and drags its heels in others. Why, after generations, do the same communities keep getting hit hardest by COVID, climate change, and every other new crisis? I remember, of course, it answers those questions by looking through the lens of race. And, of course, it presumes that there is a pattern to be found, right? You can only find a pattern if there's a pattern to be found. And, you know, one of the criticisms of CRT, among other criticisms of even other philosophies, is, if you look hard enough, you can find a pattern anywhere, right? And so, okay, back to his article. "Laws, policies, and institutions." By the way, you understand the appeal. I mean, what if you could find the secret, the political theme, the underlying reason, the conspiracy, why poor areas get landfills and demolition sites and borrow pits and other areas get nice amenities? I mean, you know, if you could figure it out, and it wouldn't be just something obvious like, I don't know, involved political communities with money, you know, because... I mean, that's also true. Okay, anyway, so there's appeal to this. You know, it's always... exciting to be able to find another theory, right? Okay. "Laws, policies, and institutions," he writes, "even if everyone involved in shaping them thinks they're being fair, are put under a microscope by critical race theorists. That's because even with the best intentions, systems can still end up treating some groups of people better than others and making life harder for others, often in ways that are challenging to see unless you really look for them. With the right training, I would add. And without critical race theorists, it's likely we'd have fewer people uncovering this veil that undoubtedly produces unequal lived experiences for non-white people. CRT provides us with the language and history to connect the dots. You kind of see the theme here, you know? We're the secret detectives figuring out the truth of the world with our training anyway. And the hope that if we see the system for what it is, we can actually make it better. Which, again, if that were true, I agree. I can understand the appeal. Guided by this vision, he writes, I'm not interested in some abstract theory, but the lived reality of those, of who wins and loses in America and why. CRT gives us tools for tracing those lines. It's not about blaming anyone for things they personally did or didn't do. It's about refusing to accept that that's just the way it is. As an answer. Still, almost every time someone hears about my degree, I get the same knee-jerk reactions, especially, quote, isn't that the thing that teaches kids to feel bad about being white? And, quote, aren't you just saying everything is about race? Well, I mean, he's saying that. That's actually, he already said that. I don't know why he would dispute that one. I've heard these two misconceptions and many others from strangers in line at Domino's, from old friends in line at Domino's, anyway, whatever. Old friends, from people who seem genuinely scared. I get it. Politicians, including Donald Trump, have spent the last decade turning CRT into a boogeyman, right alongside LGBTQ history, both of which they want to use to scare school boards and corporations into erasing any perspective that isn't straight, white, and cisgender. If you don't know the term cisgender, that transgender is people who identify as a gender different from their birth biology. Cisgender is what you used to just call normal. Cisgender is people who identify as the birth of their gender birth. They want you to think CRT is a threat. They want you to be afraid. We'll finish this in just a second because the good part's coming. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. No accidents to report to you right now. I-10, I-110 are flowing smoothly. Starting to see a minor delay on Avalon Boulevard southbound as you approach I-10 just due to congestion. But other than that, we are looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much. John, if you need to build something, rebuild something, remodel, fix, or you build stuff from the ground up, hey, Pensacola Hardware is your place. They are your commercial construction supply business. The warehouse is right here, so they don't have to order it. You know, you don't have to wait a day. You wait 3 minutes till they run back and get it for you. Or if it's a special order because, like, it's a specified product that the engineer or the architect uniquely needs for this particular project, they can do that, too. They work on those all the time. They speak your language if you're a contractor, if you're a builder. You won't have to translate for them. They know. They've solved it before. They've helped people fix it before. Not only do they have the stuff, but they have the know-how to use it properly. In fact, one of the things about Pensacola Hardware is, you go to buy a product, and then you try to walk out the door, and what they're going to say most likely is, hey, have you ever done that before? Because they want to make sure you get the end result. And some of these things, you know, there can be safety issues, and they want to make sure that you're safe. And so that's an element of care and not just wanting to make a transaction, but wanting to build a relationship and help you get what you want in the end out of what they're selling you. Pensacola Hardware, they have been doing this for 174 years, since 1851, right downtown at 20 East Gregory Street. All right, I was talking a moment ago. We were in the middle of reading this, I think, illustrative, informative, interesting article written by Charles Orgbon III at Huffington Post, explaining his degree in critical race theory. Yes, he's black. I mean, I have a picture. It says, I have a degree in critical race theory. These things people believe about it are especially wild and troubling. Now we're getting to the fun part. He continues to write, but let's be honest. These attacks aren't just about misunderstanding. They're about power. The people leading this crusade don't want us asking tough questions about who gets what. They don't want to discuss the policies written and unwritten that skew things in one direction. They call CRT anti-American. But what they're saying is don't look too closely, don't question the rules, and don't demand change. Okay, interesting claims. And if it were all true, you know, maybe worth it. But, you know, one thought is he's saying they're all about preserving power through the institutions that serve the well-off and hurt the black people, basically. But this also is a power grab. He's saying we should have the power, or the power should come to us instead of to you. And so the claims that you're hiding truth behind power motives also apply against those who claim other people are hiding truth behind power motives. Like every, you know, the whole, your philosophy or your viewpoint is just a biased way or a smokescreen for your power grab. Well, the claim that other people's policy advocacies are really just smoke screens for power grabs is also a power grab. So you don't get out of the problem by saying, well, only they are seeking power. We're just seeking justice. Well, claiming that you are oppressed, violated, the victim of systemic racism, or whatever, is also a power grab. Anyway, back to the article. That's why CRT matters. If we can't ask why climate change is devastating certain communities more than others, or why once redlined neighborhoods are now the hottest places in our cities, then how are we ever supposed to fix these problems? It's not about shame. It's about honesty and the belief that honesty leads to action. And yes, it is racist to try to shut down these conversations. Is it the same thing to just question these allegations? Anyway, it's racist to erase the experiences of Black, Brown, queer, and other marginalized people from our classrooms and our laws. And I actually agree with him. It would be. But, you know, to promote, to celebrate, to normalize and equalize may or may not be appropriate given the particular question. The same movement that wants to ban CRT wants to silence any group that complicates their version of America. You're trying to silence the people who disagree with your version of America by claiming that anybody who wants to disagree with you is racist, that anybody who advocates for the status quo is racist. Your claim is that the other people are the bad ones and we shouldn't listen to them because they're wicked. That's an effort to shut down and delegitimize my viewpoint. You are engaging in the same thing that you criticize the status quo for engaging in. This is kind of why I'm pointing this out. I won't pretend it's easy to out myself as having studied critical race theory. Universities are backing away from the theory. Programs that utilize it are disappearing. And I genuinely wonder if I'll be one of the last people to graduate with a degree in CRT. Fingers crossed. It's no longer hypothetical that a university could be forced how to be an American president's desire. Sorry, it's no longer hypothetical the university could be forced to bow to an American president's desire to shape what is taught in academic institutions, but that just makes this work all the more urgent. Poor me. It's hard work being oppressed. And listen, I'm joking, okay? I'm being moderately rude. But this whole self-pitying, self-righteous, we've found the secret. In Christianity, you have this thing called Gnosticism, which is like this, we've got the secret formula to how the world works, and we've seen through the veil of truth that's being pulled over your eyes. And, you know, all of this, like, secret knowledge business is absolutely at work in this CRT perspective on the world, you know. And the only reason you don't see it is because you're biased by the power structure that benefits you. Well, or, and could be, okay, but or you could just be wrong. I mean, and every time you define criticism as illegitimate or as racist or as reinforcing the racial patriarchy or whatever version of this you want to subscribe to, you're engaging in cult thinking. You know how cults work? Like everybody who criticizes them and disagrees with them is, you know, lying, deceptive, manipulative, whatever. You define every form of criticism as being delegitimized. That's what this is. It's not an eager participation in conversation. It's arrogant contempt for anybody who even challenges this view of orthodoxy. Going on, he says, I didn't get this degree to hide. I plan to use it to ask hard questions, to work for policies rooted in justice, and to help communities demand more than the bare minimum, which I think are noble goals. I agree with him. Whether I'm working in business, public policy, education, or environmental justice, I want to ensure that the problems we're all living with are acknowledged for what they are and get addressed. Me too. If you've been told to fear CRT, I get it. But that's what those in power would want you to feel. Don't give in to the temptation. The real danger, however, is a country where we're too scared to ask why things are the way they are or to imagine something better. CRT isn't a threat to America. We can debate. It's a chance for America to live up to its promises for all citizens. The only people who should be afraid are those desperate to prevent inequitable outcomes from playing out over and over again. We don't have to settle for silence or the status quo. We can ask, we can challenge, and we can change. That's what critical race theory taught me and why I hope the questions it raises never go away. There you go. I share this because it's easy to think the caricatures are just exaggerations or that what I do on the transgressor ceremony is somehow like this wild exaggeration. It's really not. It's really honestly doing more to teach you what they think and, of course, make fun of it at the same time. But, you know, there's really a guy out there who really went to a college somewhere and really got a degree in this and is now off into the world to slay the villains of racial injustice. And maybe he will make progress. But I think this viewpoint, this kind of self-righteous, if you disagree with me, you're part of the problem viewpoint, is the problem. And it's amazing to me that people are really getting degrees in it, but not so amazing because I went to school with people who were getting degrees in all this kind of nonsense back then. 653 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
Join Jonathan Cook from Jonathan's Flooring and Construction today at 9 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Jonathan will be sharing his years of expertise on flooring, including insight on materials, installation, and maintenance, plus lots of great advice on home and office remodeling, including the kitchen, bath, cabinets, and more.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
Looking for a stylish way to promote your brand or celebrate a special occasion? Prim & Proper in Gulf Breeze now offers custom hats, a new addition to their lineup of custom and promotional items. From corporate logos to personalized designs, these hats are perfect for businesses, events, team gear, or one-of-a-kind gifts. Prim & Proper is still your go-to for custom engraving and unique gifts. From personalized drinkware to engraved home decor, every item is crafted with care by their in-house experts. Visit primandproper.com for more.
Hi, I'm Terrence A. Gross. As many of you know, I am a local board-certified personal injury lawyer, and I have practiced in this community for almost 40 years. Our law firm handles only people that have been injured due to the negligence of another. Join me this Wednesday at 10:30 on Pep Talk as we discuss all aspects of personal injury law.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
When breaking news hits, we're there to cover it. Fox News, WEAR-TV, News Radio team on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
By the way, that car does not have that horn. 655 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Wait, you're telling me that General Lee doesn't have that?
No, I'm saying Little Red Corvette doesn't have
that. Oh, okay, because I was like, horn. Son, we need to talk. And I'll play reruns of Dukes of Hazzard for you.
John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. No accidents right now. Not seeing any Dukes of Hazzard cars anywhere out there. No delays either.
Go to Milton. Well, Baghdad. Yeah. Bubba's got the one.
Yeah.
Bubba Watson's got that one.
Oh, that's right. But he doesn't drive it that much. Oh,
okay.
Too bad. I wish I could drive it for him. Anyway. All right, so no delays on 90, 98, or, and Bubba, if you're listening, I will drive that or the Corvette, either one. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
The sacrifices you make for your art.
I know, for the show.
Pretty noble, frankly, pretty noble. If you're speaking of cars, if you're thinking about buying that next vehicle, whether it's a vintage muscle car, or which is really not what Frontier specializes in, or something newer that's, you know, fast, they've got 300 different cars and trucks on the lot. And, you know, if you're looking for something to carry cargo, they got trucks. If you're looking for something to carry human cargo, they got minivans. If you're looking for something to run around, they got sedans or compacts. If you want something to go fast, they got that too. They got all of it. And you can really compare things side by side in one place on their lot. They specialize in cars that are a year to 3 years old with 10 to 40,000 miles on them. They're going to warranty them to 10 years or 100,000 miles, but cars that are in great shape, just not brand new. That's what they specialize in at Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years, right behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, there's no new updates since the Homeland Security Secretary was taken to the hospital yesterday for an allergic reaction. Kristi Noem was taken to George Washington Hospital in D.C. out of an abundance of caution, according to the Department of Homeland Security. She's said to be alert and recovering. It's not clear what caused the reaction.
I heard that she had a really strong case of Ilhan Omaritis. And the hives are like the size of softballs.
Okay, then. So there's an investigation underway in New York City after mayoral candidate and comptroller Brad Lander was released after being arrested during an immigration court on Tuesday. He was trying to escort out an immigrant who was taken into custody following a court appearance in Lower Manhattan. Apparently, he ended up being handcuffed. Homeland Security says he assaulted an officer.
You're still trying to suppress a laugh, aren't you?
Yeah. You're not making it easy on me either, I'll tell you. And naturally, Florida's the best when it comes to ice sports. The two Stanley Cup championships in a row for the Panthers. They took down the Oilers yesterday in Game 6.
That's what we should do. At Palafox and Garden today, we should have a "We support ice sports" rally, right? We can be.
I like it.
Look
I
at
like
you,
it.
Boy. We support ice Panthers. Yeah.
No, more justice, more peace. We want ice on our rinks. Doesn't really rhyme so well, does okay, it?
We'll I have can, to work on that one.
I'm going to ask AI to do my chants for me. Yeah. All right, David. Thanks so much for the update. 437-1620. Oh, this is this hits near to home. Kraft Heinz is removing all artificial dye from their products. Now, my wife lives on hamburger and Heinz ketchup. And that's the only, that's like she eats, that's like 80% of her diet. Anyway, the worry is that the ketchup may not be quite so vivid a red. I mean, you know, are they going to be able to find a natural flavoring, natural coloring to make it be quite as vivid? What if it was sort of a just, I don't know, limp brown?
Local.